Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, January 10th of 2022. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is a great blessing to be with you tonight. As we had been talking a bit about the new year as of late, but we're so glad that you could tune in tonight, wherever you are, however you have found out about us, whatever time it is where you're at. We're just so glad that you've made that determination to tune in to this broadcast on this cold Michigan day. As I tell you, here up here in Michigan, cold, wind, very cold day today. As temperatures are going down to single digits and will fall below zero tonight. Wind chills expected to be as low as minus 10 to possibly minus 12. Not the coldest wind chills ever, per se, but pretty cold. It is Michigan, and I would say on average, every 3 years or so, every 2 years to 3 years or so, we get wind chills like these. Sometimes we get them lower. We still got a lot of winter left. Still might. And someone told me today, earlier today, she said, I'm already sick and tired of winter. And I'm like, and I was like, though I agreed, I was like, you know what? The bad news is it's only January 10th. And, of course, that's the opposite of July 10th, which I'm not going to say I wish it was July 10th already because we just had Christmas just over 2 weeks ago. But, about the new year, Pastor on Thursday night went through his 2022 I Predict with us. You can go online to marktbarclay.com to download it if you wish to download the I Predict 2022. And there are things that he will talk about that are like for the church that Dr. Barclay will mention on Thursday night. But what I will say is this year is a year to truly get serious about God if you're not. If you're doing this play in church, if you're doing this come when you go to, come when you want to, go when you want to, don't come when you don't want to type stuff. Now, if you're on vacation or something, I understand, but this is, it's time to stop doing the whole come when you wanna, don't come when you don't wanna thing. Time to get serious about God. We're in the last days. there are things coming down the pike that are some wild stuff. Things that involve technology, things that involve satellite. Like, you could have your own satellite, per se. But who knows who's snooping it? Isn't that the way you said it, Shelley? Miracle Man could have his own satellite. You could have your own satellite. Pastor Barclay could have his own satellite. Your husband or Josh or whoever could have their own satellite. But who knows who's snooping on them? And then there are things within the stars. But the Bible says, that in the last days, stars will fall from the sky. Heavenly bodies will be shaken. There'll be famines, earthquakes, pestilences in different places. Look at last year. You have a hurricane force type event, that crazy derecho in Iowa. You have wildfires, very costly wildfires that destroy nearly 1,000 homes at Christmas time in December. I don't know about you, but in my mind, in Colorado, somewhat near Denver, in December, is that wildfire time? I say no. Springtime. Maybe fall. Certainly not mid-December, right, Shelly? Not mid-December. Not mid-December. Another thing. So you can't tell me that we're not in the last days. I don't know how much time we have left yet. But Jesus says, you do not know the day or the hour. You do not know the day or the hour that he will come. He talked about this, too, as part of the his webinar called The End of the World. No, he did not name it that to try to scare us all. Because when you hear something called The End of the World, I can just see some of you being all scared, like, what? Why did he name it that? To be honest, one of the last days, and things are being lined up, like, more than what they had been before. And in fact, one of the big leaders from the United Kingdom who might end up being the big prime minister there, he was referring to him taking the money, not him being the prime minister, but him being like this other being, referring to the Antichrist. Now, no one even asked any questions. No one, including our own guys, our own folk who were there, asked any questions. So they must all know who he is. He might possibly be born. He could very well be born. We don't know how old he is. He might be 10. He might be 12. He might be 8. He might be 18, 22, 32. I don't know. We don't know. But that's part of why I've said this is not the year to keep playing those religious games. If you're playing them, stop. Get serious about God. And so I know to, there's a lot of hysteria about this, you know, Omicron surge of cases. And they're all like, we have more cases. We have more cases. We have record amount of cases. We're having record amount of cases. Well, here's the thing. You do not truly judge the effects or the conditions of a pandemic, like a pandemic, a scamdemic, mandemic, whatever you want to call it, plandemic. To be honest, it's kind of all four. It's mandemic because it was created by man. / planned by man. So really, mandemic and plandemic would basically mean the same thing, wouldn't it? It's just that he words it different than this person who calls it plandemic. That's the only difference between those two, Shelley, you're thinking, is just different wording. Plan and man, same. And then there's the scamdemic because of all the scam and stuff involved, like you know, these things about false positive and all that kind of stuff, and all this disinformation that we've had going on, and disinformation, misinformation, but. You don't judge it by cases. You go by hospitalizations and deaths. And the truth is, people who are having Omicron, many of them, if they're going to the hospital, they're not using the ventilators or the oxygen that they were using. Think about that, Shelley. They're not using the same amount of oxygen or the ventilators that they were using before.
They're not?
They're in the hospital, but they're not using as many ventilators.
What?
So they're not as – they don't have – but I just want to warn you, know, what they're – and what they're saying, you know – And Pastor said about this whole thing, this tyranny, this won't be the last thing. COVID will not be the last thing that they use this whole tyranny thing on. It won't be. I mean, according to Dr. Buckley's, I predict. Now, I hope we see an intervention from God, and then we can at least have less of this, not have the same amount of tyranny. But God said, perilous times shall come. They would call evil good and good evil, and different things like that. You're seeing that. You're seeing certain prosecutors appointed, and they're not prosecuting certain crimes like theft and what have you. Like in certain places, you could go into a store and steal a bunch of stuff and not get caught. That's part of what Pastor was saying too. Like at the other service. Remember, Shelley, when he said that? That people could go into these stores and steal stuff and not get caught in certain places. Because there's a certain person who is helping getting certain judges appointed. I would rather not say who it is. Dr. Buckley didn't either, so I'm not either. But just kind of... I'm not telling you this stuff, listeners, to scare you. And if it scares you at all, I hope it's only into prayer. Because let me just let you know, what's going on. And you should, by some means, find out what's going on. But you have to sell, and you have to learn to separate the truth from the fables. Because MSNBC and CNN and different sources like that will try to fabricate certain things. And then I can't say one of them's perfect necessarily, because I mention your Breitbarts sometimes and ones like that that I like, but I don't want to give them all the credit in the world necessarily, but that one is a whole lot better than some of the others. Because but you know, because if you know what's going on, it can help you pray. And so last night my pastor did question and answer night. And he answered many questions on many different topics, including, you know, different things about, a few things about stuff in the last days stuff, but some Bible questions, of course, and so, and it wouldn't be question and answer night, of course, with Dr. Buckley without a couple of silly questions. It would not be question and answer night without those. But nonetheless, so I hope you wrote your resolutions down by now. I wrote mine. And the different things that I want. Like one of them is that I want to greatly increase the amount of listeners on the show. I want my healing to be made manifest, including my eyesight. Another big thing that I put on there is something that involves the show, is I want to be able to interview possibly a major athlete from a major sports team. Could be one of the Detroits, or maybe Michigan, someone from Michigan State, something like football, basketball, something like that. That would be really cool. I would really enjoy getting to do that and ask them different questions. So that would be a real cool thing, because, and of course, I believe in God for all these, including the other things I put on my list, like how I'm believing God to get to go to Texas. And see what's going on down there. I've been looking up a couple things. And I was curious over the last few days, speaking of Texas, just thinking in my mind, Like, I was wondering if there was such a thing as Tex-Mex, which is a fusion of Texas, like Texan Mexican stuff. Like, maybe it could even mean like Americanized Mexican food. Like, if there was any kind of fusion between Tex-Mex and barbecue. Turns out there is in Texas. Apparently, certain places down there do this, have pulled pork tacos. That's right. I said pulled pork tacos. Does that sound good or not? Doesn't that sound good? Pulled pork tacos. It does? I wonder if they use a sweet sauce on it. And also, listeners, I hope that all the big cities have it, or at least the metros do, because I don't know which one I want to go to more so. I want to go to Houston for a little bit, like maybe a day or two or for something. We'll see when I go. And then maybe Dallas. Things about it are, I'm believing God I yet to go, but I found out about that, and so I'm wherever those places are, I really hope to go to one of those, because that's something that sounds so good. Mexican and barbecue at the same time. It really does. And I don't know why, but it does. And I found in my mind what might be one of the best food courts in America, in my mind. Mall food courts in America, at least as far as, like, chains go. As far as having these different chains in the food court. This is at a mall in Houston, Texas. It's called Memorial City Mall on about 10 miles west of downtown Houston, right there next to I-10. And it has in its food court, get this, a McDonald's, a Taco Bell, a Chick-fil-A, a Chipotle, a Starbucks, a something called Potato Corner, where there's all these different flavors of fries. And it has a Subway and a few other things, but I thought it was really cool that had all these different choices, so many different national chains in it, including my old-time Midland food court favorite, McDonald's, and a Chick-fil-A. Now, normally, for me, that wouldn't be much of a struggle, because it'd be easy for me to pick Chick-fil-A. But for me, this is a problem, because and here's why. We lost our McDonald's in our mall here in Midland 4 years ago. 4 years ago. But the thing about certain places, though unfortunately they are few and far between, there are certain places that still have McDonald's in the mall. I have not eaten at one in a mall since Lawrence, Kentucky, 4 years ago. Do I miss it? Yeah. There are still at least a couple that I know of in the Chicago area, but right now, Chicago earlier to me because of the crazy vaccine mandates and stuff, at least for now. I just seen soon not go there. If they could be less restrictive with vaccine mandates, mask mandates, then I'd consider going. But I don't know of anywhere else on the east side of the country that I know of that has these McDonald's in a place. Houston got one. I think Dallas does too. I hope. And they put on some of the biggest fair carnival type things in America. Between late February, through much of March, they'll be doing this big thing in Houston called the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, which is like a countryside to Texas. And then between late September into late October, they do this big thing called State Fair of Texas in Dallas, which I went to once. I guess San Antonio has a big livestock show and rodeo, too, at some point, maybe April or something. I don't know when it is, but and then another thing I love about Texas is I love how big into sports they are. I do. They really are a crew. And I would almost say it's what a California should be. In certain ways. But so let me say so there's different things about it that but I wrote that on the list. But about this Memorial City Mall, it also has a Target in it. And many of the different major chains that even we used to have up here, that might be harder to find up here, but down there they still have them. And they have a Target in the mall. And an ice skating rink in the mall, and a big movie theater. The Skywalk, believe it or not, that connects it to a hospital and a hotel. And I was looking on their website last night, and I found myself wondering something about apartments, and I'm like, that would be crazy to me if they had apartments that were like literally across a sky bridge from the mall. They might be, I don't know. But I'd be curious. Just to see how it is. And the prospect of being able to go from like your doctor's appointment that's in a hospital, and then being able to walk across this certain sky bridge that goes into a mall, is just wild to me. Not in a bad way, but in a cool way. And I was talking to someone about this mall who had been there before just this past week. And this was before I found even more cool things about it. And I had said, Memorial City Mall, everything a mall should be. I mean, everything your local mall should be. Referring to your, like, if you live in an area like near a smaller mall or something. Because they have a nice large kids' play place, for example. They have an American Girl. A lot of little girls like that. They have a carousel you can ride on. They have a Target, like I said. They have different things for kids and all different kinds of people there. So, but enough of that. Now, viral all kinds of different things in there. To be able to see, I want to be able to see all the different things that God has made. And this weekend, there is a town that still has Christmas lights up down in the Detroit area, in the downtown. They kept it up until, like, January 16th. They're keeping it up until. My mom was confessing over me the other night when we were down there walking around. You know, you're going to be able to see these Christmas lights. And I'm like, because I want to be able to see them. I really do. And I was glad we got to see them. I wish there was literally a warehouse that had Christmas cookie mixes and stuff that they still had, like even in January. Because there's some sweet stuff. Like someone had told me they wanted to make at Christmas, but then they didn't get a chance to. So that's why I was curious. Because I really love Christmas-themed desserts. I do. And let me just check the time real quick. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe how much time is going away from me. As you can tell, I'm a man of many words. Oh, my goodness. Time. All right. Real quick. A couple announcements, then we'll sing a couple songs. And then we'll get into the word of the Lord. Now, really, 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 really quick. I want you to go to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about our book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how faithful God has been, how gracious God has been, and it's a great read. I want to encourage you to sow a seed into the Miracle Man Show. You can go online to paypal.com in order to do that. Paypal.com. In the search bar, type in River Shukla. Again, that is Rivers Shukla, R-Y-V-E-R-S, and then S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind that Rivers and Shukla, the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are both capitalized. So please keep that in mind. The verse I want to sow into your life is, therefore God loves a cheerful giver. And that's true. And as you sow your seed, I pray over your seed and call you blessed. And I want to see you blessed. I really do want to see you blessed. I really do. Now we're going to sing. A couple of songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. Higher than the mountains that I face, answering in the trial and the change. He's constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never fails up, gives up on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on it goes. And it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never, ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My death is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on it goes. And it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never, ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Expect. question. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation. Still you know my heart. The author of salvation. You loved me from the start. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted up in praise. And it's you we adore, singing Alleluia. You're the Lord of all creation. Your faithfulness is true. We are desperate for your presence. All we need is you. Oh, we're waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise. When it's you we adore, singing Alleluia. Jesus, that you are with us. You're making a way when there seems to be no way. You are the God of all creation. You are the God who knows our heart. You are the God, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are here with us. Making a way when there seems to be no way for us. And thank you, Master, that you meet the need for us. You're the need meters for us. Thank you, Master, that you always make that way. you are the one that makes the way for us when it seems impossible. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. And I thank you for that, what you're doing for us. But you are moving in our midst. You know what we have need of before we ask. And I know, Lord God, that you are meeting those needs for us tonight. And thank you, Lord God, for that, what you're doing for us. Thank you, Master, that for all these listeners who are tuned in, that tonight you're helping these listeners as they go through life. You're strengthening them tonight, wherever they are. I know, Lord God, you're meeting their needs wherever they are. You're just helping them as they live on this planet too. Thank you that you are helping us. You're meeting them right where they are. And now, Lord God, I pray, Master, that you would help us tonight, just as we go through this life tonight. Thank you for what you're doing for them, Master. And Lord, thank you for this word tonight, that you meet the needs of these listeners and that you heal their bodies, strengthen their minds. All these things that they ask you for, so thank you, Lord God, for your hand being upon them. And just being there for them. In the name of Jesus. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners will come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most important of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into this kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Acts 6, go there, please. Acts 6. We're going to continue on in the book of Acts tonight. Praise God. Book of Acts 6. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Begin looking at verse 1. In those days, the number of disciples was increasing. The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose a man full of faith, and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Procorius, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. A question arose, however, from members of the synagogue and the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law, and they seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. And they produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Chapter 7. Then the high priest asked him, "Are these charges true?" To this he replied, "Brothers, and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said. Go to the land that I will show you." So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him to his inheritance here not even a foot of ground, but God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way, "Your descendants will be strangers in a country that is not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves," God said, "and afterward they will come out of that country and they will worship me in this place." Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. And Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob. Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph. They sold him as a slave into Egypt. God was with him and rescued him from all of his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he made him ruler over Egypt and all of his palace. Then a famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our fathers could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. And on their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family, 75 in all. And then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our fathers died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" The man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner with two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. And when he saw this, he was amazed at that sight. And he went over to look more closely. He heard the Lord's voice. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. And the Lord said to him, take off your sandals because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? He was sent to be ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt at the Red Sea and the 40 years in the desert. This is that Moses who told the Israelites, God will send you a prophet like me from your own people. He was in the assembly in the desert. The angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. And with our fathers. And he received living words to pass on to us. But our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and, in their hearts, turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who had led us out of Egypt, we didn't know what has happened to him. By the time they made an idol in the form of a calf, they brought sacrifices to us and held a celebration in honor of what their fathers had made. But God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies. This agrees with what is written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring me sacrifice and offerings 40 years in the desert, the house of Israel? You have lifted up the tree of Moses, the ark of our God, idols you made to worship. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Our forefathers had the tabernacle of a testimony with them in the desert. It had been made as God directed Moses according to the pattern that he had seen. Having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations. God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place from the God of Jacob. And it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Hasn't my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked people of uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there even a prophet your fathers did not? Was there ever a prophet that your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. And who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. Verse 54. When they heard this, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees, and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. So, you see, Stephen was sent to warn those people. He was preaching to people. Of course, there were all these believers, but then there were these others. There were other people there, including, of course, Saul, who will later become Paul, as I mentioned to you listeners previously. Saul becomes Paul, and we will be discussing that as we continue on through the book of Acts. But put away, I love people like Stephen. People like Peter. They did not water down the message of the Word of God. They didn't water it down. They didn't care what people thought. They didn't care. And the true believers who were hungry, they loved Peter. They loved Stephen, and he was telling them about the story of first you're telling about Joseph, and you know about Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, and Jacob's 12 sons, including Joseph in particular, and how Joseph helped them. The whole food thing, even though they tried to sell Joseph. His brothers tried to sell Joseph. Jacob's other sons tried to sell Joseph. And the whole thing. And all that kind of stuff. And then you had that thing with Moses. And you had an Egyptian mistreating one of the people. And Moses stepped in. But then when Aaron came, those people wanted to be able to worship their own gods. They wanted to be able to worship their own gods. For whatever reason, they didn't want, many of them didn't want to worship God anymore. They did not want to worship God. They just decided he wasn't worth their... I hope none of you listening to me are like that. Because God is for real. And I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. I do. And it's time to run after him. I didn't say against him. I said to him. And so... he was... preaching, and then those people who didn't like what they had to say, they stoned him. But then when he was praying, he said, you know, he said, don't hold what they're doing against him. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He was standing there at the right hand of God. That's what he saw when he looked up into heaven. As Stephen was powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And he didn't care what those people had. He didn't care. He was like, you know what? I'm going to preach. I wish more preachers were like that, more pastors were like that. And obviously there are true pastors like that, thankfully. I'm thankful Dr. Barclay is like that. Dr. Brown, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, Dr. Rod Parsley, I believe he's like that. Yeah, he's like that. Kenneth Copeland. True John Osteen. Was like that. And Roy Hicks and different preachers like that. And but then or whatever some of the people who were. And then Stephen called them stiff-necked. I don't know if that's what set those people off or what. But he knew that there were people there trying to persecute. And like I said about Paul, Saul, who became Paul. Saul went from persecutor to apostle. He went from persecutor to apostle. Because originally he was persecuting Jesus. Yep, he was. And... uh, Look up Peter. He denied Jesus three times. But he got back, right? And in all the different accounts that are given about the crucifixion, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in all of them, Peter denied Jesus three times. And so, but as I said, he didn't care what people thought. But obviously, I'm sure you hope people would listen. By listen, I don't mean not disrupt. By listen, I mean take the word to heart. And then apply the word. Apply it to work. Put it to work in their lives. Because that's important, being able to apply it in your life. You want to be able to apply the word that you hear into your life. Apply it to your life so that that word means something rather than just, Heavenly Father, let me just check this clock. But I'm just checking the clock because you got a couple of quick things to do. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I thank you for the word that we read tonight about Stephen. Thank you, Lord God, for what you used him to be for the people. And thank you, Lord God, for your hand being upon us, that we will be these Book of Acts people, Book of Acts people that you called us to be. And that we will be Book of Acts bold, Book of Acts loud, that our churches will be like that in these last days. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And now, Lord God, I take a second to pray over our bodies. I call our bodies well. I call our bodies whole in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease, leave our bodies. Pain, go. Sickness, go. Disease, go. Cold, flu, go. Your name is higher than any of those other names. Corona, flu-ona, flu, cold, cold-rona, cold flu, whatever you want to call it. Your name is higher, Jesus, than all those other names. Curse these sicknesses trying to live in our bodies. And I thank you that for what you are in us. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen. So, in NFL news, got a few different developments. In local nature, Lions beat the Packers in a surprise win for Detroit at Ford Field, 37-30. I guess they were good when they wanted to be and not good when they didn't want to be. this year with the Lions as they went 3-14. End up with, I believe, the second pick in the draft. Hopefully they will use that pick for something that is good and meaningful. And I do think there are reasons to be optimistic for the future of the Lions, starting with next year, 2022. Oh, Black Monday. This was Black Monday. What's Black Monday? Oh, Black Monday is the day where some of the teams who had not good records fired their head coaches, including the Chicago Bears, who fired their head coach. I forget his name, but they didn't do good this year either. You also had Miami Dolphins, who won eight of their last nine games, but for whatever reason, after his third season, they said, "Nope, goodbye, you're gone, see ya, done." The Raiders fired their head coach, Las Vegas Raiders. I want to say that maybe the Chargers fired their coach, but like four different coaches were gone, were released to their duties on Black Monday today. There's been talk as to whether or not Jim Harbaugh will leave Michigan to take one of those jobs. There's been talk that Harbaugh has been wanting to go to the NFL, but at the same time, there's other people who are saying he's as happy as he's ever been. He's working for his alum as a head coach who just this year beat that team to the South, won the Big Ten championship, and made the college football playoff, even though they were crushed by Georgia. And so he accomplished, Jim Harbaugh accomplished a lot of great things this year. Had he not accomplished those things? Let's just say what if he had lost to Wisconsin in Wisconsin? What if he had lost to Penn State in Happy Valley? What if he lost that team to the South again? Then it'd be a different discussion, even if they had won all of their other games except for beating Michigan State, which they did not do. They did not beat Michigan State. But so it was a good season for Michigan football and Coach Harbaugh. They have a lot of things to be proud of, even though they did not beat Georgia. Do I wish they would have beat Georgia? Yeah! And I say this as someone who loves the South a lot. But being a Michigan football fan, you know, I was hoping that we could have found a way to possibly even win a national championship. But then we lost to Georgia. Speaking of which, tonight is the big college football national championship game. Georgia versus Alabama for the college football national championship game. After these two had met in the SEC championship game in December, on December 4th. Will Georgia redeem themselves? Or will Alabama remind Georgia who won in December? My hope this time, honestly, my hope is that Georgia can beat Alabama and show them why they're quite possibly the number one team in college football. But knowing how Alabama comes to play in big games, different things about Alabama that I know, they've only showed poorly recently in national championship games against Clemson, but that's about it. So, give me Sweet Home Alabama, 34. And down to Georgia, 26. Again, that is Crimson Tide, 34. Georgia 26, my prediction. All right, folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.